Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you've hit the subscribe button so that you get every episode automatically every week. There is no cost to subscribe. It's simply an option you select one time for convenience. There is even a subscribe page on the website that tells you not only the many places where, but how you can subscribe. Again, though, there's no cost to do that. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, comment, etc. on those platforms. You can always send comments through the website, plus you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners, and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Please help me spread the word about the show. I'd appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio as I continue trying to draw in more listeners in the hopes that this ministry will bring them closer to Christ. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, everyone is waiting and wondering, when are sports games going to resume? When are the leagues going to start back up? Recently, Major League Baseball and the players even came to an agreement regarding some of this stuff, and depending on when the season does start back up, this is what's going to happen in terms of salaries and years of service in the league, that type of thing. Well, we just had Palm Sunday, but the Sunday before, the reading about Lazarus and the fact that it was pointed out that Jesus waited until eventually he went to where Lazarus was, where Lazarus had already died. People wondered about that waiting. We wonder about that waiting. So people were wondering, what is he waiting for? What will he do when he gets here? Rather than us wondering and waiting, what will Jesus do if and or when he answers our prayers, we should challenge ourselves, what are we doing during that time? Are we seeking him always, or are we just waiting? Seek him at all times. Moving on now with episode 62, my guest played guard in the NFL for the New York Jets, New York Giants, and Seattle Seahawks, including winning a world championship with the Giants in Super Bowl 21. He also played on three University of Michigan Rose Bowl teams. He is the president and founder of Life Athletes, and nowadays is an attorney in Indiana. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Chris Godfrey.
Thank you, Bruce. It's good to be with all of you.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate you making time for this. I know that you are a cradle Catholic. Take us back to those early years. Where did you grow up? What was the makeup of your family? And where did you go to school prior to heading off to college?
Well, I'm the oldest of nine. Wow. We grew up on the Lower East Side of Detroit.
Wow.
And, was baptized, as was all of my siblings at birth. And when we had a nice idyllic neighborhood, lots of larger families, and church was a half a block away. The schoolyard was there, and almost a little bit like the Little Rascals. You know, it was a lot of lot of fun growing up. Neighborhood soon changed after that with the riots and all that, but it was really a nice space of time to grow up in.
And Catholic school or no?
Yeah, we went to St. David's in St. Clair.
Well, I mentioned in the intro that you played on three University of Michigan Rose Bowl teams, but on Catholic Sports Radio, we're more interested in talking about where were you faith-wise at that point in your life? Obviously, the University of Michigan isn't a Catholic college, so how challenging was it to stay rooted in your Catholic faith, especially given that you probably had an eye on the NFL, too, I'd imagine?
Well, I also had a Catholic high school upbringing, and so I wasn't really wed to the idea of going to a Catholic school. Wasn't really on my radar. I did want to play college football, and I was recruited by lots of different kinds of places, and I picked the University of Michigan because my family had moved down to southeastern Florida middle of my junior year, so I missed my senior of football and all the rest, which was kind of a sacrifice, as you might imagine. And so when the University of Michigan offered me a scholarship, I think it was one of the last that they had in their group, I jumped at it because it gave me a chance to return to the Michigan area. And it was a good move. It was a great school. I picked it because it was not only a good football school, but it was also a good academic school, kind of the best of the both worlds of the different sorts of schools I was looking at, and the added advantage of helping ease some of my homesickness and getting back to my friends. And so all of that was good. I never really thought that I would never really considered professional football.
Wow.
It was just something that kind of, in my senior year when it was over, thinking about what am I going to do next? Well, I'm in good shape right now. Why don't I give football a chance? Wasn't drafted, but that maybe that'll give you a reason why I never really thought too much about it. But because I wasn't that big or fast or anything like that. We played for some good teams, so that helped.
Well, a lot of times on this show, I'll ask a guest, and I'm going to ask you the same question. When someone does go off to college, a student athlete, there's a lot of distractions. There's sports, there's college life, there's campus life, things like that, fraternities and what have you. So how difficult was it to stay rooted in your Catholic faith, given that, as you just described, you had moved back home, away from home kind of thing, but also here you were, now you're a student athlete and you're living the college life, meaning that you're no longer under mom and dad's close eye?
Well, I had a little taste of that prior because my last semester of high school, or living down in Florida, I actually moved back to the Detroit area on my own to finish up at my high school, De La Salle. And I stayed at my grandparents' house, but they happened to be wintering in Florida, so I was on my own. So I got a little bit of that out of my system. So I think I might have been a little less distracted by some of the stuff that might send new freshmen off the edge.
Okay.
I remember my biggest experience was being in a place where, I was with the very, best of the best, really great athletes, really good students. And I, for the first time had a sense of ambition, if you will. It's kind of hard to put my finger on it, but I never really thought along those lines before because I just did what I did. But now it's more of a much more competitive atmosphere. And so that was in the mix too. And my faith at that time, I was loyally Catholic, but not necessarily, I went to Mass and stuff like that, but I didn't really have, maybe mumbled a few prayers at night, but wasn't the first thing on my mind. My new freedoms and, the horizons and all these new things I was learning and seeing.
Sure.
Really distracted me from thinking much about my faith.
Sure, and that's good to know, because I do always like to have a point of reference for the audience to know where you've come from. In the lead up to today, you sent me an email that mentioned a conversion-like experience early in your football career. Share that story with us, if you would.
Well, like I said, I'm thinking more about competitive things and pushing myself and striving. And so I decided to give football a try, and I wasn't drafted. I was sick. I had mononucleosis during the draft time, so that didn't help me much. But I wasn't, like I said, extraordinarily big or fast or anything like that. But I did get a free agent contract with the Washington Redskins, and so I got in the best shape of my life. And I put on a lot of extra weight, good weight, and got to camp, had a great camp, but ended up getting cut in the last cut. And then I got picked up by the Green Bay Packers. After a little while, they told me I made the team. And then I got cut again. Actually, I missed the team there. I went from the Redskins to the Jets, injured my knee in the next Jets camp, got cut. So that's two cuts. Back home in Detroit, drove back home, slate. I was tired. There's a note waiting for me at my mom's kitchen table from the Green Bay Packers asking me to come to their camp. Mm-hmm. And I was about ready to give football up, but I learned that they had just signed a coach who used to be my coach at the Redskins the year before. We were friends, so I figured he wouldn't be jerking me around, that I might have a good chance of making the team. So I went up there and decided to give football one more try.
Uh-huh.
And after about a week or so, they told me I made the team. Had all my stuff brought up to me during the last preseason game, and then the next day I got a wake-up call from an assistant coach telling me I was cut.
Oh, no.
And that was the conversion, experience, because that was my third cut in a year, and I remember hanging up the phone and falling to my knees and saying, Lord, I give up. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, you're the boss now. And I never really prayed like that before. I meant it. So I cleaned out my locker, got my final physical, heading out the front door to go jump in my car to drive home, when the head coach, Bart Starr, called me into his office and apologized for cutting me and asked me to stay.
Wow.
And I was flabbergasted, because I had been around the NFL long enough to know that they just didn't make rash decisions like that. There's only so many spots on a team, and they talk about who's going to get those spots every night. And so I just knew that God had a hand in the whole thing.
Mm.
And that he was close to me. And because he was close to me, I wanted to get close to him. So that was the conversion experience. And I didn't let go of it. And I continued to pursue our relationship after that point, and made it a priority in my life. Not
wow.
to say it was perfect, but for the first time in my life, I was trying.
Wow. Wow. Tremendous. Well, in your pro football career, did you ever have an encounter with another player, likely a teammate, I would imagine, that led to them deepening their relationship with Jesus? Or was the 1980s a time when, look, Bruce, pro football was just all about hard-hitting, winning, testosterone-filled, smash-mouth football? Nobody was looking for Jesus then.
Well, there are two things going on that kind of supported me during this time. With the Packers, they had a Bible study team there that was a Protestant Bible study, but it was run with athletes in action.
Wow.
And then in the off season, my mom was going to a charismatic prayer group, and I was just kind of being supportive of her. But in the meantime, kind of meeting people, learning some things. And so a lot of things were kind of happening that were kind of helping me grow and teaching me at that time from really kind of disparate and unlikely sources. But it was a point in time where I was, really growing on the inside and learning and connecting the dots with, things I had learned when I was younger. And all of a sudden, the realization that all that stuff was true.
Mm.
And so it all came running back into my mind and into my life.
That's tremendous. That's tremendous. So how did it go for you when it came time to transition out of being a pro football player? How much did you lean into your faith to help you with that? Because surely Satan had to come around and whisper in your ear quite a bit, I would think.
Well, yeah, there was kind of an interesting thing. After getting cut three times the first 12 months, I ended up playing 9 years. And when I got to that point, I knew I wasn't going to return for another year. I was living in the New York City area, in northern New Jersey. And I was a Seattle Seahawk at that time, and our fourth child was due right at the time I would have to leave to go to Seattle for camp. So a lot of things were making me realize that, well, it's been a good run, but I'm going to retire. But I didn't know what I wanted to do yet. And so I went on retreat, and the prayer in my heart was, Lord, what do you want me to do next? And the retreat hadn't even gotten started yet. I was going for a walk on the retreat's ground, and all of a sudden the parable of the rich young ruler came to mind. And, that's what, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, give away everything that you have and come follow me. And I can remember just kicking the ground, going, oh, geez, I've been tithing, going to mass, don't contracept, doing all these difficult things, and now you want me to give it all away? Well, it was a good way to start the retreat because it was food for thought, and I realized that it's not so much our money that God wants. He wants our hearts. And I was planning to move back to the Detroit area. Had some beautiful land overlooking a state park. And I was kind of had these visions of retiring to be a country old retired country gentleman at the ripe old age of 30. When a couple of things happened that I realized that God had something else in mind, and it was the morning that I met Mother Teresa. Priest Buddy knew the Mother Teresa's driver when she was in the New York City area, and he was trying to get me to go see her. I kept telling him, no, we just won the Super Bowl. I know what it's like to have people bothering you, right? And sure enough, there were 5,000 people at the convent the next day where you suggested I go bother her, right? But he was persistent. He called me later that night. Now, look, she's going to be in the South Bronx, for 7 a.m. Mass tomorrow. Go there.
Wow.
So I called up my buddy Mark Bavaro, and we drove out there and went to Mass, and it was a wonderful experience. And I got to meet Mother Teresa.
Wow.
And we were alone in the room praying with her for a while. And
wow.
But the two priests that concelebrated and Mark, at one point in our conversation after the Mass, they turned to me and said, you should go to law school. And that was another prayer in my heart, maybe meeting Mother Teresa, this is really a special event. And maybe there's a word here that I could follow, figuring out what I'm going to do next. And so they said law school. It was almost like a light bulb went off. And so I ended up selling that land in New York and in the Detroit area that I was going to retire to, and came out to Notre Dame to go to law school. And that was the transition.
Amazing. Well, listeners, as much as Chris did in terms of playing so much pro football throughout his career, he has done just as much, if not more, off the field in the community. But before I ask him about that, if you like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would very much appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show, taking this all on by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, and editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work, booking the guests, and so on, which means that all the expenses come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish, securely, online. And for those of you listening that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me through the contact page on the website, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. I mentioned on last week's episode that Tim Triplett, the head football coach at Holy Family Catholic in Victoria, Minnesota, sent me a check. He was the guest on episode 55 of CSR. Plus, one of you gave an electronic donation that I need to follow up on to see about giving out your name, if you wish. And if you are okay, listeners, with doing it online, look for the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net pray about it, and see if this ministry might be somewhere that you feel moved to support. I would truly appreciate your consideration. If you haven't already heard them, go back and listen through the last several episodes to a number of examples I was giving of many expenses that your donation helps me with. There are no sponsors currently, so there's no compensation for all the time and work that I put into all this. So no contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. It all helps with the various expenses related to running Catholic Sports Radio. Chris, we are 62 episodes in with Catholic Sports Radio, yet I think you're the first guest who is a member of the Order of Malta. Tell the audience what that is.
Well, I think it's one of the oldest, if not the oldest, religious order in the church. It's about 1,000 years old, started in the Holy Land, and they took care of pilgrims that came to the Holy Land, and then they, they had the first hospital, but then they also started to defend them from folks that would prey upon them making their pilgrimage, and then they got involved with some of the Crusades, and then from Jerusalem they went to Rhodes in Greece, and then they ended up in Malta, hence their name. A very long name. It's the Sovereign Military Hospitaller Order of the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem, Rhodes, and Malta, something like that. It's been a while since I had been asked to say it, but their charism is to care for the sick and the poor and to defend the faith. And so they're all around the world. And having a particular difficult time right now because every year about this time, they take a bunch of sick people over to Lourdes. And as you know, the Lourdes shrine has been closed down and the pilgrimages have been canceled. And one of the things that I've been doing out here for several years, and it's really a nice fit with some of my other charitable interests, is that we've brought the Lourdes experience back here to our friends and family members in northern Indiana. Right here, and next door is the University of Notre Dame, and they have one of the more famous replicas of the Grotto at Lourdes. And they call it the Grotto. It's behind the Sacred Heart Church near the lakes. And so we ended up having the Lourdes water brought back from the pilgrimage, and we had a rosary procession, a washing with the water, and a mass and an anointing of the sick in the basilica. And then a couple of years after that, we started bringing the same event to nursing homes, and it was a very well-received endeavor, and that kind of fit very nicely with another organization I started back when I was playing called Life Athletes, and that was began with an outreach to the unborn and an education to young people about relationships, but it's also we're also dedicated to respecting the lives of the aged as well. And so this was a nice way to develop that arm of that. And so we created some nice prayer guides and give the folks bottles of Lourdes water and rosaries and sponsor and host rosaries on a regular basis. That's been kind of shut down with the pandemic, but it was very well received and a very worthwhile endeavor. So that the Order of Malta inspired all of that.
And why do I want to say that Life Athletes also has abstinence as part of its message too, yes?
Yes, chastity is a big part of it. And so we invite the young people to join us, over 300 professional Olympic athletes, to live lives of virtue, abstinence, and respect for life. And we invite them to make the same commitment that we made. We call it the Life Athletes Commitment. And the first is I'll try to do what's right, even when it's difficult. The second is I'll give myself only to that special person who marries my partner for life. The third is I won't, I'll respect the lives of the unborn and the aged. And the fourth is I won't quit or make excuses when I fail. I'll try again. And we tell people that last commitment is very important because we've all done things we wish we hadn't have done. And the key is not just to lay there and say, woe is me, I'll never be any good. And that's what the devil wants you to do, just give up on yourself and take yourself out of the game.
And how?
And I tell them back, it was a lesson that our team learned back when we went to the Super Bowl in 86, is that we started, everybody thought we were going to the Super Bowl until we went down to Dallas to play our our arch rivals, and we got our butts kicked, and we came back to New York, and all those gentle Giant fans, you might know some of them, would say, like, oh, you guys are the same old bums, you'll never be any good. But, and they gave up on us, but we didn't give up on ourselves. And by the end of that year, we were, 18-2, 19-2,
wow.
Something like that.
Wow.
And we ended up winning the Super Bowl. And so I tell people that, you know, perseverance, I mean, our Super Bowl rings are as much a symbol of perseverance as they are success. And the perseverance is important in something like football or sports. It's way more important in our personal lives.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, it should come as no surprise that your children all had or have athletic genes. Tell the audience about your children and their sporting endeavors, but also a little bit about you and your wife raising them in the Catholic faith. And then, as we talked about with you, having to watch them go out the door into the college world, hopefully with that faith in hand.
Yeah, so that's a tall order. They all liked sports in one way or the other. My oldest had more of an artistic bent, but her artistic bent started being a photographer, the photographer for the famous University of Notre Dame Bengal bouts, you know, so amateur boxing. So she liked sports too and all the rest. But the next one actually, and they all played, you know, sports in grade school and stuff like that, and some in high school. But we had swimmers, and one that went on and played water polo at Notre Dame. The one after that, she swam actually competitively with the Notre Dame in Michigan. And another one swam a little bit at Michigan, but she was, how many letters did she get? Maybe 16 letters.
Wow.
Her high school year. And then my son, John, he played football, was able to coach him through the ranks, which was really a great blessing. And his team went to state a couple of years, and he was the captain of his high school team, and he played at Ball State. And then the caboose, Michael, kind of followed in his big brother John's footsteps. They weren't as successful as a team going to state, and he had a little more adversity that he had to suffer through, but that just made him a better person. And he's down at IU Bloomington right now, studying business and doing very, very well, hoping to be an investment banker. And you asked me, yeah, it was a long question you asked me. So how did we get to that point? Well, our faith was very important to us, and we showed it. And I also played the role as a protective father. Not that we had hooligans on the streets, but we had, I watched the media intake in the home, and wouldn't watch shows that had people in it that I wouldn't want in my house. So I didn't come into the television and the music and all that, try to keep a handle on that. We prayed as a family, went to mass regularly, and they were able to see that, you know, that I wasn't perfect, but I was sincere in what I was saying and teaching them. And they were very much involved with a lot of the life athletes camps and things that we did. So my work benefited my children as well. And just supporting them and seeing what they were good at, and then helping them pursue that. I think that's important as a parent. All kids are different, and you just try to support them in developing the talents that God's given them, and giving them space not to be lied to or deceived, as I mentioned, with the radio sorts of things, but also making prayer a big part of our home, and just being involved in our kids' lives. And that was, you know, that was more important than anything else I was doing. And they knew it, and that helped. And their mother was involved in their lives, and that has made all the difference. So very, very pleased with what they're all about right now, and what they've learned and taken away from that experience. And they all get along well and enjoy the family, and the family remains a support in their lives, and they are a support in our lives as we get older and they get older. And then we have our seventh grandchild's on the way.
Wow.
And,
wow.
I can honestly say, getting through all of this, that making the sacrifices to have children rather than better vacations or, you know, raising dogs or anything like that is well worth it. And it's frightening at times, economic downturns, like how are you ever going to get through this? But God is faithful, and he helps you get through it. And
Amen.
You're doing what he wants you to do, and if you're doing what he wants you to do, he'll be there to help you.
Amen.
He's not going to show you right away, because that's what faith is all about. Faith is going out in that direction, even though you don't know what's out there.
That's right.
But if you're faithful to it, sooner or later, it'll start to materialize. You'll see it.
Wonderfully said. We're out of time, but I do want to get in one final question, because I did mention that you're an attorney, but your firm's website also refers to you as a counselor at law. It takes my mind to how do you incorporate your Catholic faith into talking with clients at your firm?
Well, I'm an estate planning attorney, so what I do is help support families, and property is a way of supporting your family. It's part of Catholic Church teaching. And so, gifts and build relationships. And a lot of what's going on is, how do I leave my property to my children? And I encourage people to not to look at it as just some sort of an asset transfer, but as an opportunity to strengthen that relationship even after you're gone. And, then there's healthcare sorts of documents and ways of respecting yourself being a steward of what God's given you. For those who are listening and understand that God's given them their life, it's not like it's up to them to end it when they want to end it. And so I'm very careful to create documents for Catholics who believe and care about these sorts of things, that their faith would be respected in these sorts of situations.
Nice.
And then also, as folks get older, creating situations where family members can help support them financially and also, but also help them protect their assets, and also to help them find, get, and pay for good care. So we really have a growing way of looking at it that's complete. We call our planning process sideline to sideline, kind of a take on my first profession. Now, if you called somebody a sideline to sideline player, that was a good thing. That meant they were complete, and that's what we strive to do in our estate planning.
Nice, nice. Nicely said. Chris, wonderful to talk to you. Thanks for making time today. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. Good being with you.
My pleasure. Listeners, let's close today. We haven't done this one in a while. The prayer to Saint Sebastian, the patron saint of athletes. And we'll do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Commander at the Roman Emperor's court, you chose to also be a soldier of Christ and dared to spread faith in the King of Kings, for which you were condemned to die. Your body, however, proved athletically strong, and the executing arrows extremely weak. So another means to kill you was chosen, and you gave your life to the Lord. May athletes be always as strong in their faith as their patron saint so clearly has been. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
Teachings for an Unbelievable World is a newly discovered work written by St. John Paul II, then Archbishop Karol Wojtyla of Krakow, in the years just after Vatican II. This is the first English language publication of this important work. In this hardcover book that Scott Hahn calls one of the greatest hidden treasures unearthed in our time, 13 brief homilies provide compelling teaching for Catholics in today's post-Christian world and give fresh insights into JP2's pontificate. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code JP2Teachings, that's JPII Teachings, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.